Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely not, people say, when something presented to them seems so incredibly illogical, unreasonable, and no way. Surely not. But that's what folks in the gospel reading said. As they were listening to Jesus' teaching in the temple, the chief priests, scribes, and elders included, since they were the ones so tied up in gut-churning knots over who gave Jesus the right, the authority, to talk like he was talking, to teach as if he were from God. Come on, inquiring minds want to know. It was Tuesday of Holy Week. He had already ridden into Jerusalem upon that donkey to the Hosanna cheers with palm branches all over the place, but the hammer was going down. And out comes yet another little parable. Into the face of authority issues, Jesus tells this little story about the owner of a vineyard whose servants were brutally treated and then sent away empty-handed, and then finally, whose own beloved son was thrown out of the vineyard his dad owned, then beaten, finally killed. At this point in this little story, everyone within earshot has stopped breathing. So unheard of this is. Then Jesus says the owner of the vineyard will come and destroy those tenants. And get this. Give the vineyard to others. Did you hear that? He will give the vineyard to others. And here it comes. Surely not. What a response. When Jesus tells this parable, he's really reaching back to Isaiah 5. And there in Isaiah 5, the prophet depicts God as planting a vineyard, putting his tenants in charge, and then, you might remember from Isaiah 5, coming back to look for fruit. Instead of finding good sweet grapes, he finds only wild, actually rotten and stinking grapes. So Jesus picks up on this in his little parable. Now everybody listening at that point in Israel's history knew exactly who the owner of the vineyard was. God. And the servants coming to gather the fruit were all those countless prophets the heavenly owner had been sending. Servants sent by God to confront and condemn his people. His people, the very vineyard of his planting and tending. There was a serious lack of fruit, sweet fruit, the sour, rotten, wild, grape faithlessness. Oh, it was there in abundance. What's worse, Israel sent the Lord's servants away empty-handed and sometimes treated them with utter shame, even killed them. It's finally then that the heavenly owner sends his own beloved son. Surely, surely, his people will honor, will respect, and receive him. But the tenants determined to kill him, thinking that, ha, the inheritance will finally be all theirs. Good riddance. And that's what happens. In the face of such unthinkable dishonesty, such unthinkable brutality, treason, murder, the owner of the vineyard determines to destroy the evildoers. And he will take away his vineyard from them and give it to others. And they say, surely not. Incredibly unreasonable, this response. I mean, it's strange. But it's not unusual, is it? I mean, just take, for example, our current culture today. Increasing numbers of people around us forsake, they show contempt for the commandments of God. We're living in a culture that declares and lives by the mantra that there is no objective truth, and a culture where increasingly Christians are mocked, even persecuted. So then when the reaction of God's law is applied, that he should promise, that he should send punishment for disobedience and unbelief, well, what do people say? An indignant, surely not. But we're not off the hook here. It's not just about the people out there. Also about the people in here. What about you and me? When the Lord comes to us, for example, says, I come looking for good sweet fruit in you. I didn't find any. Came looking to see if you were loving me with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. I came looking to see if you were loving your neighbors as yourself. I came looking to see if you were caring for one another in love and with compassion. I came looking to see if you were speaking the truth, my truth, speaking it with boldness and love into the face of mocking condemnation and falsehood. I came looking. Look what I found. The fruit of your life. It is then our nature to think and maybe even say aloud, surely not. It is our nature to sneak out from under God's righteous judgment and to find some way to justify ourselves. Surely not. Thank God that in the face of his eternal law, the Holy Spirit has led us to reject that self-justification. A justification that's always striving to be top dog. Thank God that his Spirit leads us to remorse for our sin. When confronted by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit leads us to confess, like David did before the prophet Nathan, I'm the one. I have sinned. The fruit of my life stinks. And my supposed righteousness, like filthy rags. Thank God that in his mercy, his Spirit leads us to cry out for mercy and forgiveness and has provided the forgiveness that has removed his righteous judgment from us. Thank God. Maybe, though, when the folks reacted to Jesus' parable with the cry, surely not, they were not disagreeing with the just judgment of the owner of the vineyard, but maybe, just maybe, they were instead expressing outrage at something so unthinkably horrible that they simply could not imagine it happen. That they would kill the Messiah, the Son of God. No. That would never happen. Surely not. But it did. And the scribes and chief priests, whose voices were joined with the others, were already planning to take Jesus captive, kill him. Their crucifixion of Jesus became a rejection of everything he said about himself. I am the way and the truth and the life. Surely not. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Surely not. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Surely not. So goes the message of rejection, nailing Jesus to the cross. But then he rises from the dead. Do you know what? With his resurrection, all those surely nots are destroyed, evaporating in his clear and certain conquest over death. Make no mistake about it. Christ Jesus has the power and the authority to deliver on all his promises. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. God has put everything under his feet. He is the rightful heir to the vineyard. The heir to the vineyard, the one who holds the whole world and everything in it in his nail-scarred hands, has a word for failing, weak, sinful people like me and like you. It is a word of forgiveness and comfort and peace. Jesus gave himself up for this very forgiveness, this very comfort, this peace. My brother, my sister, that word from Jesus obliterates every doubt you could ever have, every fear you could ever have. All the guilt and shame you may ever have. I'm afraid that I have been too horrible, too disobedient for God to forgive me. Surely. I'm someone who's run away from God in my life, in my lifestyle, with the choices I have made. I've been to the far country of hard-headed rebellion, and I've been there so long that the Father would never have me back as his child. Surely not. I look at my troubles. I look at the challenges in front of me with my family or my home or my job. And I get the feeling that God some days has just up and left me entirely. Surely not. I look ahead to my future. And I know how weak I am. And I know, truth be told, that I am afraid that death will defeat me. Surely not. And to underscore again this day that Jesus' word spoken to you is surely so. He opens his arms and he welcomes you to his table. Surely you, just as you are, laying your sin and guilt and shame and fears and worries and burdens down, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Surely. So, Jesus says it. Surely so. Well then, we should probably end it by singing. The organist will wonder about this. Turn in your hymnal to hymn 570, and we're going to sing this first verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. We're going to sing it a cappella, and the organist will give us that D upon which we will sing. Would you stand to sing verse 1 of hymn 570 with me? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Surely so. In the name of Jesus, amen.